My visit to the Museum of Sex at 233 5th and 27th Street, Manhattan, began much like a regular visit to a small movie theater. The entrance is small and discreet, and the interior of the building is dark and quiet. I entered the main area of the museum to find an extensive exhibit entitled Vamps and Virgins, The Evolution of American Pinup Photography from 1860 to 1960. This surprisingly informative exhibit presents the viewer with a timeline, essentially a cultural narrative, tracing the development of the sexual image of women over the century in which the art and technology of the photograph was the most revolutionarily developed. The most interesting element of this exhibit, however, were not the entertaining pictures, but the cultural context of the vast changes which occurred over that century. This is not an exhibit of porn, but an exhibit about the role of women and sexuality in society, and this is reflected by the quality of the photographs themselves. For the first 60 years portrayed in the exhibit, the only thing that really changes very much in the photographs is the photographic quality, which really reflects the fact that the change in the cultural role of women before the 1920s was almost non-existent when compared to the 1920s and beyond. And sure enough, the most radical changes in the photographs occurs between the 1950s and the 1960s. Pinup girls in the 50s were almost exclusively portrayed in domestic settings like the kitchen, the living room, and of course, the ubiquitous bedroom. Pinups in the 1960s, however, aside from revealing more than their women's liberation, are portrayed not only in much more diversified settings, but even in much more empowering positions and situations. The other exhibit that was on display during my visit was called Stags, Smokers, and Blue Movies, The Origins of the American Pornographic Film. I won't go into as much specific detail about this exhibit, but the structure of it is very revealing, to say the least. When entering the exhibition, one is entering a very dark room with completely black walls. The only sources of light are the numerous videos playing around the room, and small lights that allow the viewer to read the display cards explaining the histories of each film. The lighting and method of display gave me a feeling of nothing less than illicit voyeurism, like I was watching something I was not supposed to see. This counteracted the fact that most of the videos were relatively much tamer than half of what you would see on Fox TV every night, and in a very appropriate way, giving me perhaps part of the feeling that the movie's original viewers must have felt. The third part of the museum is, well, an actual museum, complete with glass cases and do not touch signs. The actual museum is only one room, containing everything from church-published books about the mortal sin of contraception, to incredibly bizarre sex toys and machines, to portraits of the sexualized image in modern American media and advertising. Overall, the Museum of Sex is a great place to go if you want to understand some of the reasons that our culture is as notoriously oversexed as it is, and how it got there.